As announced, scripture reading this evening will be from Proverbs 19, verses 20 and 21. That's Proverbs 19, 20 and 21. I will be reading from the American Standard Version this evening. Listen to counsel and accept discipline, that you may be wise the rest of your days. Many plans are in man's heart, but the counsel of the Lord will stand.
Good evening. Good to see everybody out this evening. Appreciate your presence and your willingness to come here and to worship God. I noticed no one left when Matt said that Don wasn't here and I was preaching, so I do appreciate that. Tonight we want to talk a little bit about some investment strategies. And no, you're not in the wrong building. I want to talk about some things that we need to think about and we should be thinking about as far as investments, and we'll get into that in a minute, but let's look at Matthew chapter 25. We're going to spend most of our time there this evening. Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25, let's look at verse 14 beginning there. Says, "For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. And also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money." We want to look at this section of verses here and kind of analyze a little bit about what a talent really is. What does this mean? Some people might be confused about what that means and how it applies to us and how we can learn from that. First of all, a talent here is literally talking about money. This talent is supposedly it's 6,000 denarii, which would apparently take an ordinary laborer 20 years to earn. That's for 1 talent. So for most ordinary people, this was a lot of money, even for just 1 talent. This is a lifetime of money that we're talking about here. And this master says, "I have 5 talents. I'm going to give it to you." So this person was entrusted with an insane amount of money, essentially. And what did he do with it? Well, he made that much money back. He invested it. The same with the man, the servant, who had 2 talents. He did the same thing. He invested that money, and he got 100% return on that. The last servant didn't do that. In fact, he didn't earn anything else. And you might think, well, that's not terrible, is it? He didn't lose the money. We'll find out how that worked out for him. So, if you think about why he would do that, why would he just hide that money? Turn over to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. Verse 44. Matthew chapter 13, verse 44 says, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field." So the practice was, if you had a lot of money, take it to the bank. It's kind of what we do today. Most people didn't have a lot of money. So what did they do? Well, they worked and they saved money as much as they could. Then they would go out and work in the field or do whatever they did for a living. They left their house and it was normally empty. So you didn't leave your possessions or your money. You didn't leave that laying around on your dresser or somewhere in your house because people would come in and steal it. So they said, well, if I dig a hole in the ground somewhere where no one else knows, I can hide the money. Nobody else will find that. Plant some grass, make it look like nothing was there, cover it up. And don't forget where it was, of course. But that's how they would hide things. That's what they did. And that's what this person did. This servant said, I better not lose this money. Because to him, it was probably a lot of money. More money than he'd ever had. He said, I'm not going to lose this. I can't lose this. So what happened? Turn back to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25, and continuing on there, and beginning in verse 19, it says, Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here I have made 5 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And he also who had the 2 talents came forward, saying, Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here I have made 2 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. He also who had received the 1 talent came forward, saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours. But his master answered him, You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So the master comes back. We don't know how long it was. It could have been a really long time. We don't know. But he comes back. And he's looking for his return on this money. What did you do with my money? Did you lose it? Well, no, of course, they didn't want to lose it. Did you gain any interest? Did you do anything with it? You know, I don't know how much you're into investing, but if you have, say, a 401k, an IRA, or you're saving for retirement, or you're just saving for a rainy day, whatever it is, most people try to save a little bit of money. And once you get a little nest egg together, you might say, well, maybe I should invest this money. Because what happens if you don't do anything with money? Well, it sits there and doesn't get bigger. If you don't spend it, it doesn't get smaller either. But it doesn't get bigger on its own. You have to do something with it. You have to buy something that you think is going to increase in value. You have to do something that you think is going to be beneficial. And that's what these servants did. They felt that it was important that they made some money back. Well, sometimes if you look at investing, sometimes people say, well, this is a sure thing. If you ever hear that, run away. Because it's probably not. Most people think, you know, they're just looking for the next good thing out there. What's the next Amazon that I can invest in? The next Apple that I can buy just a few dollars? If I had just bought $5 in Bitcoin, I'd be rich now, right? Who hasn't thought that? That's kind of the point of investing, is you try to do something wise with your money. I just let investors do that, and I don't worry about that, because you can get caught up in it. You can get caught up in that, and it's not good. So these men are trying to do their best to make money for their master. They're trying to be that good and faithful servant and get that reward. But the servant who didn't make any money, he hid the money. And what happens when the master comes back? He says that he knew that person. He knew the master, that he was a hard man. He knew that he reaped where he did not sow. He gathered where he scattered no seed. He was going to want that money back. So he said, I'm going to do the smart thing, and I'm going to bury it. I'm not going to do anything with it. I'm going to just make sure that nothing happens to it. But really, what he's doing here is he's making excuses. He pretty much knew what was expected of him. He knew that he was expected to do something with that money. That was what he was supposed to do. Invest it in something. Grow that money. Do something. So he starts making excuses. Well, did the master say, well, that's okay, that's fine. At least you didn't lose the money. No, he said, you wicked and slothful servant, in verse 26. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I scatter no seed. He knew what he should have done. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. There was an expectation there that the servant failed to notice, or maybe he just ignored it. We don't know. We don't know why he did that. Unfortunately, though, that wasn't good enough. That servant was punished because of that, because he was unprofitable. He didn't do what he was supposed to do. And the reason I'm bringing this up, and we've all heard the parable of the talents, but do we really know what it's talking about? Do we really know what it means? What is it really telling us? Well, what it's really trying to tell us is we have an investment in ourselves. Christ has made an investment in us. He's the master. He's made this investment in us as Christians. And he's telling us we have a responsibility to do something with what he's given us. And this word talent that's in the parable can sometimes be confusing, because you think, well, is it talking about money, or is it talking about an actual talent that I have? Well, it's both. The talent that we have in ourselves is the ability that God has given us to do things. You know, you might think of some abilities that you have. My abilities as a plumber are not good. I'll just say that. I don't like doing plumbing. It's not my forte. I know that I'm not very good at it. Do I do it anyway to save some money? Yeah, of course. Do I break things and make a mess? Sure. Do I sometimes have to call someone and say, hey, I broke this and I made a mess. Can you help me fix it? Sure. That happens. I've gone beyond my ability. That happens. But do I at least have the ability to try something? Sure. Sometimes it works out great. The best thing that could happen is I get a plumbing job done in 5 minutes. Hardly ever happens. But it's great when that happens. I have the ability to do a 5-minute plumbing job. I know that. But I try to do a little more, and sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't. But the point is here that These servants were given some responsibility. They were given responsibility up to the ability that they could handle. You know, the master said to the one who got the 5 talents, here's 5 talents. He knew that that person could handle that amount of money. He knew that he could do something with that. Or he wouldn't, if he didn't know that, he wouldn't have given him all 5 of those talents. He would have said, okay, you can have 1 or 2. But he knew this guy can do it. This person has the ability to handle the 5 talents. And then the same thing with the servant who had 2 talents. He knew that that person had the ability to handle that. Well, he knew the person who had 1 talent could have had the ability. He could have had the ability to make money, to make an increase, to do something with that investment. And I'm afraid sometimes that we as Christians fall into that last category. As ones that have ability, we have the ability to do things, but sometimes we just don't do them. And there's a lot of reasons for that. You know, maybe you're thinking about talking to someone about the Bible, somebody you work with or a neighbor or a friend that you want to talk to them and try to teach them about God and teach them about Christ. But maybe you are just afraid of rejection. You're afraid of what they're going to say. Maybe you're afraid of that conversation altogether because you're not sure how to approach it. We all go through that sometimes. But maybe you have more ability than you think you do. And, you know, as we go throughout our lives, our abilities can change. We can do things that maybe we thought we could never do before. But you never know if you don't try. But this master gave this person with the 1 talent, he gave him that talent. He expected something of him. He had an expectation. Christ has an expectation of us. He expects that we do something here on this earth with our talents that we have been given, with the abilities that we've been given. Maybe we're all not a Don Wright that can go preach 5 lessons in a week. You know, we all can't do that, I'm sure. But there's things we can do. There's things we can do as servants of God. The question is, are we doing all of those things? Are we doing everything that we can to get a return on his investment? To be that good and faithful servant? Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. All of this is leading up to what's said here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10 says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil." Regardless of your abilities, regardless of whether you were given 5 talents or 1, it doesn't matter. The master is coming back, just as he did in this parable. He's going to return. This day of judgment is coming, whether we want it to or not. We can't stop it. It's going to be here. And we have to understand that we're going to be expected to have a return on the investment. If we don't, then there's going to be a punishment, as we saw in the parable. All appear before the judgment seat of Christ. No one is going to be able to get out of that. No one. And we're going to receive what is due. We're going to receive the reward for what we've done in this life, whether good or evil. So, going back to this idea of our abilities, and how many times do we get a chance to use our abilities? You know, sometimes we have an opportunity that comes upon us, and we have the ability to do something about it. You know, if someone comes to you and says, "Hey, I've got a really good investment tip for you." Again, don't listen. It's probably bad. But we all would like to hear a good stock tip or something that we could buy. You know, maybe you're really into cars and you think, you know, if I buy this new Tesla truck, it's going to be worth millions. I would not do that. It's probably not a good investment. Some cars go up in value. You know, some of those older cars are becoming very, very desirable, and they're going up in value. If you have one of those old cars that's really nice, in great condition, it's probably been a good investment. If you want to get rid of it, call me afterward. But we all make choices in our lives, some good, some bad. We make investment choices, purchase choices, just buying something. If we buy something and we know it's really not that great of an item, you know, it wasn't made in the USA, it's not made of good quality, it doesn't have good parts, whatever it is, you know that you probably wasted your money. That happens. We all make bad purchases. We all make bad investments. But to just accept that and do nothing about it would be a terrible thing. To do that again and again and again, over and over, the same thing, the same bad investment, would be terrible. It would be a waste. And that's something that we need to think about. Are we wasting the investment that God has given, that God has made in us? Are we wasting that investment? And thinking about this idea of an opportunity to use that ability that we've been given. You know, some people have more opportunities than others to do something for God, to do what we're supposed to do. Some people work in a job that's readily available. There's opportunities to talk to people all the time, to talk to people about God. Maybe we live in an area where there's people all around us that we can talk to people. We can do something to get them to realize their soul's condition. Everyone has different opportunities that are presented to them. Turn over to Romans chapter 12, if you would. Romans chapter 12 kind of brings us all together, because I'm sure I can't explain it as well as this. So let's just read the scripture. Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 3. Romans 12 verse 3 says, "For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body, we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. We all live different lives. We all do different things for a living. We all experience different things in our lives. And we all have different abilities. What are we doing with those abilities? Are we using those abilities the way we should? And he goes through a lot of these different areas that people are good at something or they have a gift that they can do something. They have the ability to do something. He encourages them to do that. Do whatever it is that you're good at. Everyone is good at something. Everyone. Everyone has abilities that they can use, is his point. In some cases, though, maybe we don't know that we have some of the abilities we have. You know, I didn't know that I could do a 5-minute plumbing job till I actually tried. I had to try it out first and do something. There's areas that we can try to expand our abilities. And sure, there's going to be times where you try something. You try to talk to someone and it doesn't go very well. Well, that's okay. That happens. Learn from it and try again. If I gave up the first time I tried to do plumbing, I wouldn't be able to do anything. I would have just given up and said, well, that's not for me. I'm not going to do that. And that's okay in certain areas. It's okay to do that. If you realize I'm not a good song leader, I probably shouldn't do that. That's okay. Not everyone can be a good song leader. Not everyone can cook a good meal for someone. Brother Barnes needs some meals right now. Not all of us can do that. He doesn't want to eat my cooking. I can tell you that right now. Leave that to my wife. We all have abilities that we can utilize, but we have to recognize them and realize I'm actually not that bad at that. Maybe I could try doing that a little bit more. And you never know until you try. And again, you know, sometimes our abilities may lie dormant for years. That maybe we tried something once and it didn't go that well. Well, maybe you were young and inexperienced, and maybe now that you're older and more mature, you could try doing something. But trying is what is really important. Turn over to the book of Proverbs. We're going to finish off this evening in the book of Proverbs. And there's a lot of verses, obviously, in Proverbs that we could read. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 12. And verse 15. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 15 says, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice." Nobody wants to be wrong about anything, right? You don't wake up in the morning saying, you know what? I want to be wrong today. Well, no, of course not. Everyone loves to be right. They think that they're right. You know, most of the time, we don't do things we know that are wrong. We do things that we know are right, that we should do. It says, though, that a wise man listens to advice. You know, I don't even really like talking about plumbing, but it just applies in so many different ways. But That first plumbing job I did not do that on my own. I asked someone for advice. I talked to somebody and said, hey, I'm thinking about doing this plumbing job. What do you think about doing this? And they probably said, no, don't do it that way. That's wrong. You'll break something. But if we don't ask for help, we're not going to find this wisdom that this person has. And then this wisdom will be parted to us. Maybe we're not that good about talking to people about the Bible. If you recognize that you're not good at talking to people about the Bible, that's a good thing, that you recognize that you're not good at it. Because that means you're trying to do something. You're not just burying that in the ground and saying, well, I'm just not good at that. I can't do that kind of thing. We have to do that kind of thing. We're expected to do that kind of thing. No, it's not easy. But if we don't know how to do it, ask someone for some advice. There's people in this congregation that are good at it. Ask them for advice. Hey, how do you do this? When you talk to somebody, how do you approach that? By the way, I'm not one of those experts. But there are people that are better at that than I am. I can go talk to them and say, how do you do this? When you're in this kind of a situation, what do you say? What do you do? Asking for advice can help us find some hidden abilities, maybe. Maybe we're good at something, we just need a little bit of coaching, a little bit of guidance, a little bit of wisdom. Turn over to chapter 15 in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 22 says, without counsel, plans fail, but with many advisors they succeed. When I preach, people find out a lot of things about me. I don't know why that is. I should probably stop doing that. But when I do a project at home, I do a lot of planning. I'm a great planner. I can plan a project and nail down all the details and do a pretty good job at that. That's actually kind of what I do at work, planning out some projects. I'm not very good at the execution part because sometimes I don't think of everything that might come up. Sometimes I just get tired and I don't want to do something. Sometimes there's 1,000 reasons why those plans fail. But if I don't ask someone about something, that's my fault. If I have a plan to do something and I don't ask someone, how is this going to work with what you're doing? How is this going to work out here? Is this going to work for you? If I don't do that, there's a pretty good chance it's going to fail. I'm not talking with these advisors that's talked about in the scriptures. There's a lot of people in this congregation that have lived really good lives, that know a lot of things, that are very wise. And those of us who are young, yes, I'm including myself, don't laugh. But those of us who are young can learn from those people, those advisors, and we can succeed if we try and if we ask for that help. And finally, over in Proverbs chapter 19, Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 20. Proverbs 19 verse 20 says, "Listen to advice and accept instruction, that you may gain wisdom in the future. Many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand." How many of us listened to the advice of our parents every single time they gave it? I don't know if any single person would raise their hand. Maybe. But when you're young, that's what you do, is not listen to your parents' advice. They don't know what you're going through, right? They don't understand you. They don't understand what you're going through at school or in sports or whatever it is. That's how a lot of kids approach that. But to listen to advice and accept instruction, that you may gain wisdom in the future. That's an important statement right there, that we should listen to instructions. Accept that instruction. No, your parents aren't going to do everything 100% correct. They don't know everything. None of us do, really. But they're doing the best that they can to do what's best for you. And to listen to their advice is a good thing, because that's going to give you wisdom in the future. You think you're smart now, wait till you start listening to them. "Many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand." We may have all the plans in the world to do something with our life, to do what we think we should be doing with our life. In reality, though, God has a purpose for us. God has made this investment in us, and we cannot waste it. We can't waste it. We need to show a return on His investment. We need to show an increase. So if you realize that, well, maybe I could do more, that's great, because guess what? We can all do more. I'm positive of that. We could all do more. We all have abilities that maybe we could polish off a little more, be a little better at. The men's training class is coming up in a month or so. We can do better. We can try to do better. Working on our abilities. That's really what life is all about, isn't it? Trying to do better every day. Because that's the expectations that God has for us. He's made this investment with us. And He expects us to do more every day. To do better today than we did it in the past. If you recognize that you don't do those things the way you should, maybe you don't use your abilities, change that. Change it. Make up your mind to do more. Use your abilities, because it's expected of us. Maybe you realize that I've kind of lost my way. Not only am I not using my abilities, but I've lost my way as a Christian. Maybe you realize that you have sin in your life that you need to repent of. Now is the time to fix that. Now is the time to make it right. If you have sin in your life, then you're not right with God. You can repent of that sin and fix it tonight. If you have sin in your life because you've never become a Christian, you have to fix that, or you're not going to see this eternal life that we talked about. We're not going to see this reward that was talked about in the parable. We're going to be cast into outer darkness. Don't put that off. You might think, well, I've got my whole life ahead of me. I've got time. There's time. That's the worst thing that you can tell yourself, is that you have time. There's no guarantee of tomorrow. We have no guarantee we're going to make it home tonight. That's the reality of it. Don't put off what you know that you need to do now. Become a Christian. Be baptized for the remission of your sins. Start over. Start a new life. Start your life now, today, tonight. And do it now while we stand and sing.